Today's Start Time podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/paranormal. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And welcome to the Start Time Podcast with Brandon.
And David.
Hey, Dave. Welcome. It's so good to see you, or at least hear your voice. You are such a blessing.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
You are.
Hey, Dave, tell everybody where you are today.
Chase ATM.
Surprisingly enough, not a sponsor of ours. It's just where you happen to be.
I'll just say an ATM.
Yeah. Yeah, an ATM. That way, nobody feels obligated to give anybody money. But, I mean, I'm sure they're a fine bank. I'm sure they're a fine establishment.
That's good.
Hey.
Brand.
Yeah.
Yep. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thanks so much for asking. We've been doing the Start Time news every day, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Today's Wednesday, so that means it's an interview day, which I especially look forward to. And today is no different. Dave, are you excited for our interview today?
I would say probably more excited than a lot. Like, this is one of my the most exciting ones.
And you didn't even know it was happening. You found out yesterday, and you just went bonkers.
No, I knew that we had one. I just didn't know who we were interviewing today, because we have a bunch of people on the schedule. I didn't know. I don't remember which ones and which day.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's just really so hard to, you know, figure out and all that stuff.
Naturally.
Dave, we've had a lot of news stories so far, and in the news. Which one has been your favorite to, sink your teeth into?
Of the interviews?
No, of the news stories we've done.
Oh, boy, that's harder of a thing to do. Probably my bee story.
Your bee story?
Either my bee story or your story of the UFO on the back of the truck.
Oh, those are both good ones. I enjoyed.
Were those the same week?
Yeah, that was last week. No.
No, that was yesterday. That was Monday, was the UFO one.
UFO one was Monday. I particularly enjoyed our talk about dreams on yesterday's show. But I also
you did.
I think yesterday's show was all that I wanted, because we got to talk about a guy who kind of took a picture of UFOs, and no one's quite sure if it's that or a disco hall. And the picture, I think, is what made it for me.
It was a good one.
Yeah. But also then the Hillary Clinton breaking news that you brought to the table.
Yeah, that was the last minute bring.
It really was.
And you know what, Brandon? The good thing about our show is, because it's daily and because we just record it right there, we have live updates. Like, if something happens, Starry Time Podcast is on it.
Something could happen, and we would find out, and we would tell you if it just so happens to be happening when we record it.
If for no other reason, listen to our podcast just to make sure you aren't the one that wakes up the next day, the only person that doesn't know. Because this is
and
real.
It would be an impressive thing to do that, because we put out the episodes in the morning. So that would mean that you'd have to go the entire day without hearing about it, and then you wake up the next day, and then you still don't hear about it until you get to the office.
Well, that's my point was, if they don't listen to our podcast, then they would be the sucker.
Absolutely.
But if they do listen to our podcast, then they're going to be the first person to know.
Imagine this, Dave. Imagine being the guy who has the Start Time podcast. He subscribes to it like you should do. You click the subscribe button that we have on the website, and you'll subscribe. You know, it'll download each episode automatically for you. You get each day on your way into work. You listen to it, and then you kind of sit around the water cooler, the coffee, if you will, and you just share the news that you learned, and kind of be that guy who kind of has the news that no one thinks to know.
That's awesome. Not only that, but imagine being the guy that doesn't listen to our podcast. Imagine what that must be like.
It is a weight.
It's frightening.
It's a weight too heavy to bear for me to think about.
Yeah, just to think of it. Yeah.
Think about this, Dave.
I like to think it exists.
Imagine. Can I put this scenario in front of you?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if we worked together, but we didn't know each other, but somehow the start time still existed. Okay, that's the scenario. Mm-hmm. And you don't listen, but I do listen. And
right.
I'm in there and I'm making my coffee. Okay. And you walk in there and you're like, oh, hey, let's act it out. Story Time Theater with Brandon and Dave. Oh,
here we go.
Oh, hey, Dave.
Oh, hey, Brandon.
You tired today?
You know, I'm always tired because I don't eat breakfast.
Did you have any dreams last night?
I had a dream where I was in a car being chased, and then I went off a cliff and fell, but then I escaped out the window and started flying around.
Wow. You know what that means? That means that something's happening in your life, and you kind of want to get away from it.
Thanks, Brian. What else do you know?
Oh, I also know that there was a man that had a UFO that he took a picture of. Have a good day. Hot coffee.
What?
Man, that seems like the scenario that I would want to be a part of, but on the end that I was on and not on the end that Dave was on.
Oh, yeah. I hated my end of that.
I love being the guy that brings the breaking news, and I think that's why we started this podcast, really.
Yeah,
Dave.
It is.
Speaking of podcasts, this is the Start Time podcast. It is Wednesday, which means it's interview day. We're really excited today because we have Adam Sell. I don't want to say his name wrong, so I need to go ahead and pull it up. But his name's Adam. I don't want to say his last name wrong. Adam Selzer is his name, and we are going to discuss a brand new book that he has out. Are you excited about that, Dave?
Brand, yeah.
The book is called The Ghost of Lincoln. It is talking about Abraham Lincoln, who apparently, rumor has it, haunts the White House.
This is the story I needed to hear tonight.
So we're excited about it. We are going to discuss that with him, among other things, right after this short break. Dave, hold on to your horse. Hey, Dave.
Ooh.
Have you ever wanted to read a book?
It interests me.
It interests me, too. But oddly enough, I just can't get myself to do it. There always seems to be something in the way, whether it be I'm too tired. My dog ate my book.
Yeah, Rufus will do it.
Yeah, I don't know how to read. All of those are things that could happen to me. And I've been trying to figure out a way to not have to read. And somebody told me of the best possible way. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
It's called Audible.
What?
Yeah, Audible. Here's the thing. I'll give you the skinny. Audible is a place, a website you can go.
Hey, Brand.
Yeah.
Hey, Brand. Could you give me the skinny real quick?
Oh, okay, sure. Audible's a website, an app, if you will, that you can get on your phone or on your computer or whatever you want to do. You go there, and they have over 100, get this, Dave, 180,000 books that you can not read but listen to.
180 books? I guess that's pretty good.
180 books. It has revolutionized the way that I indulge myself in literature. I listened, Dave, to an audiobook called The Disaster Artist, and it was about the making of the cult classic The Room. It's an awful movie, and The Disaster Artist dives into the making of that movie. And I tell you what, the author read it, and it made the book come alive to me.
Yeah, like the movie never did.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Dave, one thing that I just found out about that I'd love to share with you, if that's okay, is that we are giving away a free, and I said free, book, a free audio book through Audible.
Are you How ready? Do I get this?
Thank you. Good question. You go on your computer. You have to do it on your computer, okay, Dave? Promise you'll do it on your computer?
Yes, sir.
Go on your computer, and you go to audibletrial.com/paranormal. Again, Dave, it's audibletrial.com/paranormal, okay?
Check and check.
You're going to click the button that says something like start my free trial. Click it. You sign up through your Amazon account, Dave.
I actually do have one of those. Oh. I have a Prime account.
That's awesome. So you can totally do this. And then you you sign up and you're good to go. You get a you get 30 days free. And in that 30 days, you get one free audiobook. So if you listen to your audiobook and you're like, it was cool, but it's not for me, that's okay. Don't worry about it. You could simply cancel your account. But what I have found is that audiobooks have changed the way that I indulge in literature, and I love my Audible account, and I think you will too.
Yeah, Brian, you're a real earwigger, so oh, I would have assumed.
Absolutely. You said it, Dave. So, Dave, where are you going to go?
I'm probably just going to go ahead and roll on over to audibletrial.com/paranormal and get myself probably, geez, what book? Maybe I'll read 188 days around the world in 88 days.
Sure.
That's the one I'm hoping for. I've been wanting to hear that one.
Get your Audible trial today.
Yeah.
And welcome back to the Start Time Podcast. Dave, are you ready for this?
I am beyond excited. That's the only way I can describe it.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it, Dave. There's a few words you could have used there, and you used the one that I also would have used. Today,
Brian, I count on you for the words.
Oh, you do. I have the best words.
You do have the best words.
We have an awesome guest on today, Adam Seltzer. He writes young adult novels by day. He works as a ghost hunter by night. Adam is the group's token skeptic, which we like because we're also skeptics. His job as a ghost hunter is to do the historical research on the location and make sure the ghost they're searching for is actually someone who's actually existed and is somebody who is actually dead, which comes in really handy because today we're talking about his book, The Ghost of Lincoln. Please welcome to the podcast, Adam Seltzer. Is that how I say your last name? Adam Seltzer?
Seltzer. You can say it however you want, really.
Well, thank you. Adam, tell us.
If I say it correctly, it's harder to Google.
Yeah. I hear you. But Adam, tell
I've got
us.
A quick question.
Oh, yeah, Dave, go.
Great. Let me just start because I know I'm going to forget this question.
Sure.
I'm sure you like to celebrate Halloween, right?
Sure.
Have you ever gone as Adam Seltzer Plus?
How do you do Adam Seltzer Plus?
Instead of like Alka-Seltzer Plus, it would be like Adam Seltzer.
I'm afraid I'd have to spend all night explaining it to people.
That's true, but that's what I'm here for. You could just have me record it and then just play it.
Yeah, I thought about walking around and rocking around dressed in a bottle and saying I'm a bottle of seltzer.
That's even better.
That's way easier. You decided to take the pun route.
I feel like it'd be cute for 5 minutes and then it just gets old.
Yeah.
So,
no.
You could still go like, you know, just like put some saran wrap on you so you don't have to carry around a bottle and then just say that you're it. But that's just there's a lot of room for you to go fly on that day.
Right.
All right, Brian, your question?
Thanks, Dave. Hey, Adam, we understand you are a ghost hunter. You like to hunt the ghost. We have never been ghost hunting, and I have a feeling that some of our guests also have not gone ghost hunting, although it's a very interesting thing to...
It's a fun way to spend an evening, even if you don't expect any ghosts to show up, which I never really do.
Yeah. So you say, it says in the bio, you are a skeptic. Does that mean that you... where are you at when it comes to believing in ghosts?
Believing, it depends a lot on semantics. What counts as a ghost and what doesn't? We have to define that early on. I mean, as far as like a translucent version of somebody floating out of their nose at the moment of death, I have a hard time with that. If I pick up a weird audio recording and someone tells me I have to go break back into the location and burn sage to cross the little girl's spirit over, I kind of want to say, dude, you're an adult.
Yeah.
But, you know, weird stuff happens.
So let's say, you know, you got just like, you know, anybody's grandma that might haunt the house, real or not real.
What?
Would you say like that's a likely scenario, a grandma haunting a house, or is that just kind of their own imagination?
Well, the fact that it's their own imagination doesn't necessarily mean that it isn't a ghost to me. It kind of depends on what counts as a ghost. I mean, if your brain perceives something that way, that's really, I think, what a lot of ghosts are, is just the way our brain processes strange information sometimes.
All right, so let's go ahead and define a ghost. How would you define a ghost?
There's a million different definitions. There's so many different kinds of ghosts to come up with the one. It's a variable, really. But as far as evidence of life after death or anything really supernatural, I often tell people the only thing really supernatural that I believe in is Bob Dylan.
Yes, please.
He's about as supernatural.
The king of the folk.
I mean, the guy was like 20 when he wrote Hard Rains Are Gonna Fall. 20-year-olds can't write that. Come on.
I'm 25 and I can't write that.
No, I'm 35. I still can't.
It's fantastic.
Good Lord, we're getting he's just the greatest. Uh-huh. But yeah, so with ghosts being, it seems like ghosts to you then is more of a perceptual thing than it is a physical thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
That kind of branches, I think, into more me and Brandon's current line of thinking. Wouldn't you say, Brandon?
More or less. I tend to have more
doubts.
Speak
for yourself, Dave? Is that what you want to say?
I would say speak for yourself. I think I just have a hard time believing that there is somebody just hanging out in the house that's, you know, like the grandma example, for example. We like to think that grandma's just back and she's hanging out and his grandma's doing funny things. I don't know. I just feel like there's usually a good explanation for why something's happening.
Well, that's what the point was, Brian, is that since it's a perception, it would be somebody's interpretation of events in the house. They interpret them as the grandma. It doesn't mean their grandma's actually physically there. It would be the perception of that person is what creates the ghost.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. Adam, craziest thing, before we dive into Lincoln, craziest thing that you have experienced as you go hunting for ghosts?
Quite a few things. And I haven't really done a whole lot of formal investigating lately. I got so busy doing tours night after night after night. I did, you know, most of my research is just done in libraries, really. Sure. But as far as even just on the tours, there's one place we used to go where now and then at first we would see this woman in a black dress who was just there and then she was gone. Wow. There was a light at that place. Every time I said the name of one of the victims that I thought was probably killed in the location, the light would flicker off and on. People thought I had a remote control rigged up, which is what I would have thought if I were them too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, weird stuff happens.
Yeah. So is there any way for you to logically explain those things besides, I guess it must be some sort of ghost?
You know, there's always a million different explanations before we get the dead person, even if I don't know what those explanations necessarily are.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. Let's dive into Lincoln. You have a book out. It's talking about the ghost of Lincoln. Before we dive into talking a little bit about Lincoln and his apparent ghost, what made you want to research this, study this, and dive into Lincoln?
Researching Lincoln can get really addictive from time to time. You know, a few years back, I did this book called The Smart Alex Guide to American History for Random House, and the Civil War section of it was just fascinating. Trying to really, you know, I don't really care about which general went up the hill which day or what munitions were used, but trying to get inside of everybody's head and seeing what people were thinking at the time just fascinated me. And going back and digging up all these newspapers from 1861 to see what people were talking about at the time, how people were perceiving that, what they thought of Lincoln at the time, that just, it really gets addictive. There's kind of a treasure hunt out aspects to it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. As you researched him, what was one thing, let's not even talk about ghosts yet, what was one thing about Lincoln that you found out that was just like, well, that's the coolest thing I've found about him?
Well, let me tell you one thing. The favorite story that I found is among the various papers that one of his biographers collected, the anecdotes that he collected. Apparently, when some guy from Lincoln's old hometown in Kentucky went to the White House to discuss the draft, Lincoln asked him about all the local families and then said, well, now where's Austin Gollaher? He was my next door neighbor when I was there, as close as you had to a next door neighbor out in the frontier. I know this is like the most cliched question to ask on a podcast, but is one allowed to swear on this thing?
Go for it.
Okay, so Lincoln said to him, I'd rather run into Austin Gollaher than any man living because he played a dirty trick on me when I was a kid and I want to pay him back. See, we were out hunting squirrels together and I climbed up a tree while he took a nap and I thought I would shit in his hat. But when I let the load drop, he switched hats with me, so my hat caught the whole charge. And so here's Lincoln in the White House plotting to lead the Union to victory and also plotting to poop in Austin Gollaher's hat if he gets the chance.
That's the best thing. See, those are the types of things that actually do make my respect rise for him because I didn't think it could go up, but it just did. So how did your fascination with Abraham Lincoln culminate in a book about his ghost in the White House?
Well, I had done a book a while ago for Llewellyn on just the ghosts of Chicago. I've done a couple of books for them. I've always enjoyed working with them, really as much as any publisher I've ever had. And they actually came to me and suggested, hey, there's all these Abraham Lincoln books coming out. There's stories about him haunting places. You think you could get a whole book out of that? And I thought, oh, man, that sounds like a lot of work, but also a lot of fun work, so why not?
Okay, cool. So you actually, this was a kind of a project of gathering up a bunch of different
first finding out where first it was gathering all the stories about Lincoln's ghost haunting places and Lincoln attending seances, and then all the things about Lincoln predicting his own death. There's a lot of that, and then trying to trace all of those back to their earliest possible sources, see where these stories came from.
That is actually really cool. And did you find that there was some, like, these stories were lining up, like they were agreeing with each other, or were they kind of, like, contradicting each other?
Up to a point, they did. Some of them I was able to figure out fairly quickly. There's no good source on it. There's a terrific story about Winston Churchill seeing Lincoln's ghost that I dearly wish I had a better source on, but it's probably not true. There's the one that Churchill, according to legend, was staying at the White House, came out of his bathtub, you know, was standing there dripping and naked and saw the ghost of Abraham Lincoln in his room. And he said, Mr. Lincoln, you appear to have me at a disadvantage.
That's everything.
That's hilarious.
But I couldn't find a source of Churchill telling the story. And also Churchill would never have thought of being naked as a disadvantage. He spent, according to the butlers at the White House, he spent half his time wearing nothing but a bathrobe and a glass of brandy.
Listen, if you're president, you know, why not?
Yeah, or prime minister anyway.
Guys, yeah. Listen, when I say things sometimes, don't take it for what it's worth. Adam, when you research this and you trace things back, how did you go about finding the source that's like, okay, that makes it worth it? That makes it true.
For one thing, trying to find a firsthand account that a newspaper reporter actually would have been talking to. Like, you might find a story about something that went on in California, but only a Chicago paper talked about it, so how did they even know? But if you can take us back to the California paper where they were talking to this guy, often you'll find the quotes are much more fleshed out. It hasn't been edited down a little bit. This is probably something they were actually talking to the guy.
Yeah.
So that's really it, finding the earliest version of a story.
So let's take it back to the beginning. When was the first time that somebody said that they saw the ghost of Lincoln?
People started talking about seeing the ghost. The earliest people started talking about running into him during seances almost immediately after he died. Whether they actually were or not is a whole other thing. But the earliest account that I found of somebody running into Lincoln's ghost, of all places, he showed up in Mount Pleasant, Iowa.
That's where I would go to.
A sighting that made the papers. Yeah, well, I know his son Robert, I found out, lived there for a while.
Okay.
But according to a newspaper there, Lincoln, a couple of women were just walking around downtown and the ghost of Abraham Lincoln came up and had a chat with them. I'm not entirely sure how seriously to take this. But better than that, though, is one of the stories that I remembered hearing growing up was the story of the ghost of Lincoln's funeral train showing up all over the place. And I actually found an 1871 or 1872 newspaper article about that happening in Albany, New York. The brakeman who worked the railroads in Albany gave this terrific talk to a reporter about how every year on the anniversary, they would see the ghost of Abraham Lincoln's funeral train. Or not even in the anniversary, like all through the month of April, they would see this, the anniversary of when it came through. And it's just a lurid story the way they tell it. At first they would hear the rumble, then they would notice that all of the clocks had stopped. And From there, they would notice it getting closer, and there would be a band of skeletons playing funeral dirges. And from there, the story gets a little more over the top. But that's only about 7 years after the fact, which makes it a very early Lincoln ghost sighting. They didn't really start coming up in earnest until about the 1920s.
Interesting. 7 years seems like not that long. I don't know traditionally how long it takes for a quote-unquote ghost to begin to haunt, but 7 years, that's not too long after.
It's not too shabby.
In comparison, especially, you know, sometimes if it's like been a high profile murder or something, people will start talking about the ghost almost immediately. In the case of Lincoln, you don't really start seeing a lot of stories about his ghost until like the Coolidge administration in the 20s.
That's just, oh man. And you know, what's weird is that based on kind of what you were saying about it being a kind of a ghost being described as more of a not a physical thing, but more of somebody's kind of interpretation of situations. I find it so interesting that of all people, Abraham Lincoln there was something about him that like everybody saw as ghost. Like there's something about Abraham Lincoln. What do you think was it about his living life before people started seeing his ghost that led it to be that so commonly, whether it's actual, you know, people that think they saw it, or whether just stories or lore or whatever, but what do you think about his actual living life caused this to be such a prominent thing now?
Possibly just because there's something about Lincoln almost seems supernatural to begin with. If you look at what the convention was like and what was going on in history and what conventions had been like before, the guy came out of nowhere. We'd had a couple of presidents by then who weren't born aristocrats, but they were military heroes and notable governors. Lincoln, 20 years before, had been a junior house party hack, and then a state senator thereafter. He had, you know, very little to suggest that this was a guy who could ever possibly get nominated for president. He was just really a popular speaker and a local politician. The fact that he got nominated at all is out of this world. The fact that he won, even stranger. And then as soon as he had finished doing the impossible, he immediately died and was gone. It's almost like a supernatural visitation, really, just looking at how bizarre it is in history.
It's a great
way to put it. That's part of it. That's a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked a little bit about the beginning of when the whole White House ghost started to appear. Kind of dive into that a little bit more and how this whole – we kind of hear about Lincoln haunting the White House, how that's kind of come to be a thing.
Well, you know, Eleanor Roosevelt was asked about it at one point. And said, Lincoln is just more on people's minds than other presidents there because there are plaques all over the White House saying he was here and he did this and he used this room for that. So that may be a part of it as well. But it started around the time of the Coolidge administration. My own theory is that people started talking about his ghost then because the supply of people who knew him and could talk about him alive and share stories about him from his lifetime was drying up. Those people were all just about dead by the 1920s. Mm-hmm. So we started seeing more ghost stories as well. And also, Harry Truman loved making jokes about Lincoln's ghost. It was a big thing with him. He, at one point, he even planned to have a guy dress up like Lincoln and surprise his daughters during a slumber party, and his daughter and her friends. He would joke to reporters. He was mostly staying off-site while the White House was being remodeled. But he was saying, "Oh, I can't wait to get back to the White House. I want to get back to Lincoln, looking for Lincoln's ghost."
Yeah. So what's the most, the newest thing that we've heard, the most recent president that's been like on record saying, well, it might be the whole Lincoln thing?
As far as presidents actually talking about it, well, Hillary Clinton gave a very big thing about how there's kind of something about the White House at night. And, you know, we've had friends who don't want to spend the night in Lincoln's bedroom because it just gives them the creeps. And at the same time, Clinton's press secretary gave a little talk about how she was surprised just how seriously a lot of the White House staff took about superstitions about Lincoln's bedroom and Lincoln's ghost. Also, Ronald Reagan's daughter talked about seeing Lincoln's ghost, and Ronald would kind of joke about it a little bit. Barbara Bush, I think, said in her autobiography, "We never saw the ghost, but we would have liked to."
That's great. I think one of the things about the whole, like all of American tradition, and specifically, you know, anything political, is that there's a lot of like deep respect almost for like the tradition of doing that, and so it's almost like one of those things that you would feel kind of like you were forsaking the whole you know, your role to say, oh, no, that's just a dumb thing. Like, it's kind of a traditional thing to have that spook in the air and to talk about it. So you're probably looking for it and everything.
It's similar to the Macbeth curse. It's surprising just how seriously theater people take the Macbeth curse. I mean, even people who are generally not superstitious, you know, they really, really take that whole thing seriously in the theater world.
Yeah.
Just because it's part of the culture.
Sure.
Absolutely. Is there any theory on behind if Lincoln's trying to communicate something to the people that he interacts with, or if he's just hanging out, or what's he doing?
Now and then you'll hear that he tends to show up during times of national crisis, but I didn't really, you know, like he wanted to express concern. I didn't really find anything to back that up. The sightings tend to be more or less random.
Gotcha. And in the recent years, has it been more of it's been confined to the White House, or do we still hear stories here and there of him wandering out or in Idaho?
You hear about Lincoln haunting, but just about every place he ever set foot and several places where he never did. What I found is finding firsthand sightings of these or really any ghost stories in general, it's always it's notoriously hard to find a first-hand account of a ghost sighting. But Lincoln will show up all over the place, and also people associated with him, like John Wilkes Booth's ghost is said to haunt a few places. One of my greatest regrets in researching the book is one of the first things I found out was John Wilkes Booth's ghost apparently showed up one night at Ford's Theater while Billy Dee Williams was on stage playing Martin Luther King, and I couldn't get Billy Dee Williams to do an interview about it. So if I wanted to be dramatic, I'd say apparently the night was so terrifying that to this day, Mr. Williams refuses to discuss it.
That's
probably
author.
A good way to say it. That's how authors say it. Me and Brian would just say, well, looks like he didn't show up. But the thing about his ghost is that, I mean, this isn't like you said, there's so many stories. Like, I don't remember where I read it, but I read of something about him. I this is not necessarily true, but I mean, there's some kind of merit to, like, at least the generalness of the statement that he's one of the most, like, prominently seen ghosts of all, like, time. Like, if people talk about ghosts, like, he makes up a larger percentage.
Yeah, he's the one that's come up quite a bit. I would say more so than a lot of people, yeah. I mean, there's been some fairly high-profile sightings. Whether they're true or not is something else. But I guess Queen Wilhelmina of the Netherlands apparently saw him. Winston Churchill is still on record, whether it's true or not. Sometimes people talk about Teddy Roosevelt seeing it, though. It comes from this letter where he says, when I walk around, I can see Lincoln walking down the various halls. You know, he wasn't being literal about it.
Right, so it's almost the credibility of it goes up because the people themselves are high profile rather than just, you know, some random person that is, like, just telling their kids about it. So that's why it's got so much, like, kind of fame rather than just, like, whatever, just being passed aside. That's interesting.
You mentioned a little bit earlier that he predicted his death.
There's a lot of stories about that. There's a lot of stories about that. People seeing him at the White House and having him say, I don't know if I'm going to survive this war. I have a feeling that I won't live long after it's over. And I did find there was only one case I found that it was written down and reported before he actually died. Most of them started circulating much later, or at least a little bit later. But one of them, Harriet Beecher Stowe, who wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin, wrote in a magazine that when she met with him, he said he had a feeling that he wouldn't live much longer than the war lasted. So that I think gives credibility to a lot of the other ones that Lincoln had a kind of a foreboding of doom about his life.
Have you found any weird conspiracy behind the death? I know that there's kind of a weird connection if you go back far enough between the Lincolns and the Booths. And so, is there any weird conspiracy though that you found since he is predicting his death that he kind of know something was up or?
Not necessarily. I mean, there was a conspiracy. It was Booth and the various conspirators who were eventually executed or hanged. But as far as Lincoln being in on it or really knowing it was going to happen or letting it happen, I don't think so. No.
Yeah.
He had these premonitions, but I don't think he took them particularly seriously.
Right. I got you.
I mean, that just sounds like something that somebody would think anyways, aside from thinking they're going to be assassinated. Like, I just won't make it. Like, this is when you feel like this is just what your purpose was, or it's going to take all
you hear it with rock bands a lot, you know. It's like, I got this feeling I'm not going to make it past 27.
Yeah, that reason's a whole different reason, though.
Sure.
The drugs and such. But you said that he predicted his own death, and then there's also the seance stuff. But was there anything that supposedly Abraham Lincoln did during his life that was like connected to some paranormal stuff? Like, did he involved with
just
any
little things.
Shady stuff?
Little things. We know that he at least, I was able to establish that he at least attended one seance that took place in the White House. I found a firsthand account of that from General Sickles, who was present for it. He didn't really take the whole thing seriously. Mary, his wife, was very into them.
I'm not a huge history buff. I saw Lincoln, which is really all you need. She seemed a little wacky. She seemed a little crazy. Huh.
Yeah, that's something I noticed a lot when I talk to people about Lincoln is one phrase that comes up just over and over again is, boy, if she just had some Excedrin migraine and maybe some Zoloft, she would have been a whole new woman.
That's funny. Now, when you talk about these seances, you say that there was only one of them, but also that after he died, his ghost, you said his ghost appeared at a couple of them. Do you think there was a deeper connection there? Maybe he did buy into it, or any theories on that?
I don't think he took it particularly seriously in any case, certainly not like Mary did. I think a lot of times when he was there, he was just making sure nobody was going to be taking advantage of Mary.
Right.
Because, you never knew when she was going to give some shyster all their money or something. She was known as a major, major spendthrift. And he made pretty good money, but not enough to keep up with her spending habits. Especially after their son Willie died, she started having more and more seances and attending more and more of them and trying to get him to go to more and more of them. And after he died as well, she continued to go to like spirit photographers and attend seances. And when she had when she was put on trial for her sanity, there were just stories after stories after stories about her getting weird advice from the spirits.
Crazy.
Lincoln himself, I'm sure he might have gone is really just for entertainment or out of curiosity.
Sure.
So here's my a question. And from all this, based on your beginning statements about kind of like describing what a ghost is, and then now talking about all your research and how kind of what you've learned from that, would you at the end of the day chalk this up to being just kind of a fun, or not fun, but just a myth that's kind of like got more of like a deeper meaning, just kind of like an iconicness to it rather than an actual he's just around? Do you think that means that's more significant in the end? Or do you think it actually is, there's some merit to potentially he is really a ghost, that the traditional sense of a ghost?
In the traditional sense?
Yeah.
He's got as much claim to be as anybody else does, I suppose. I think it's more of a cultural thing to feel like Lincoln is still here with us, or even sometimes perceiving him as still here with us.
Yeah.
Right. And it's kind of a neat, because unlike a lot of other ghosts, his has a lot more purpose. Like, that's something that I kind of just get confused with a lot of ghosts, is like these, just because they were, somebody was murdered in a gruesome way or had a weird ending to their life, supposedly they just want to stay around. But then, it doesn't have much, there's not much use to that other than just scaring people, which makes it seem like that might be one of the original reasons.
That's what I do.
Right, exactly. And so then, with Lincoln, the thing that's so interesting is that even though he did have a gruesome, well, not gruesome, but it was an untimely death that was a murder.
It was gruesome.
Right. Yeah.
You get shoot. For being shot in the head, it was a little ungruesome. He didn't bleed much externally. So.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, but all that to say that he, his the ghost is not, the general sense of the ghost is not that he's seeking revenge on anything or nothing like there's no malicious intent. It's more that he's kind of, it's like you said, a reverent kind of like, he's like still with us, which is totally a different sense from what I usually get with ghosts, which I think that part of it makes it so much more like something to promote. Even if again, if you're in the White House, you obviously, maybe you don't believe it, but you're like, want to continue to promote that general spirit within the house. Like it's like being protected. It's not being haunted. It's more of a good thing, which is interesting. So what is your kind of all the stories in your book, which is kind of your favorite one?
One that I spent way more time than I should probably admit researching is, there was one story that went around a lot. It's even shown up in some very scholarly biographies of Lincoln, that one time he went to a seance with Mary and wrote on a flying piano.
And
I spent so much time on that story. Well, the story was that one day he went outside and Mary was heading off to a seance and said, hey, I'll go with you. And this particular seance, it was the medium's real trick was she would play the piano and the piano would float. And she invited a couple of Lincoln and a couple of others to hop up on the piano and, you know, see if they can hold it down. And Lincoln did and had a great time riding around on a flying piano. And I spent so much time on this thing. I did find out there was a medium in Chicago. Her name was Belle Laurie or Belle Miller, who used to make pianos float. That was her big trick. And, you know, whether she was doing this by any supernatural means or if it was just some kind of mechanical rig up, you know, that's a whole other question. Neither here nor there for my purposes, just to try to figure out if Lincoln wrote on it. And I was able to establish from a senator's diary, I think it was Senator Orville Browning, wrote in his diary that he'd just been riding in a carriage with Mrs. Lincoln. And she said, oh, I went to the Laurie's house for a seance the other night. And it was incredible. So we know that there was this place where they would make pianos float. We know that Mrs. Lincoln at least was there and was very impressed. But beyond that, the actual sources of Lincoln writing it himself, I couldn't really find a good one. There was one guy who told the story, but he changed his story so much over the years, it was hard to take entirely seriously. One thing that may be one of the sources for it, though, is in General Sickles' account, the guy who talked about going to a seance at the White House, and he said he just went out of politeness for Mrs. Lincoln, and that was why Abe was there, too. Abe seemed kind of unimpressed by the whole thing, so Mary told him, you know, there's this medium in town who can make pianos float. And Lincoln said, well, I can do that, too, Mother. They always called each other Mother and Father. It was like the Berenstain Bears.
but the best thing.
So he walked over to the piano himself, started, you know, beating on the keys and then bouncing the thing up and down on his knees while he did. Then he turned and said, you see, Mother, I can make pianos float too.
That's maybe
where the whole thing comes from.
I love that for him, though. I love that story. That's a great story. And I would have spent a lot of time researching that story, too.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, I finally had to track that one down. It was a tough one. I mean, I'd found a thing in a spiritualist newspaper expressing indignation about an interview General Sickles had given about seances in a newspaper called Miner's Journal. Finally found a library in upstate New York that had it on microfilm and had them track it down for me. That's great. It was a very bizarre source. I don't think anybody's ever retold that story about Lincoln bouncing the piano on his knee before. And that's where the treasure hunt aspect of this stuff comes into me. I couldn't believe there was still stuff out there for Lincoln that hasn't really been re-examined yet.
Yeah, I feel like if Mrs. Lincoln was in that carriage telling the story, you'd think that she would have mentioned, you know, old Abe on the piano.
Though. Oh yeah, you think that would have come up?
Yeah,
and the first couple of times the guy told the story about watching the piano float, he talked about Lincoln being there. But first he talked about the story, then he talked about the story. He mentioned, oh yeah, and Lincoln was there. And then the next time he told, oh, and Lincoln was on the piano too.
Yeah, that's
so.
Where did Lincoln hail from again?
He was from all over. He was born in Kentucky, lived here in Illinois for a long time, mostly Springfield.
So I was going to say, I'm going to write a song called Abraham Came from Kentucky with a Piano on His Knee.
I dearly hope the story is true. Anyway, you hear so many stories about Lincoln being melancholy and depressed in the White House. It's nice to imagine him having some fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Either just bouncing around or literally like flying on a piano of fire into Jefferson Davis's, the Richmond headquarters and crashing right through the window to beat him up in sheer fisticuffs.
It's great. It's great imagery. I'll tell you that much. Adam, it's been a great having you on. If people are interested in finding this book, and apparently you have a lot of other books, tell us a little bit about all the books that you have and what are you working on currently and how people can find you.
All right, well, if you go to mysterioushicago.com, that's got most of the information, or just adamchicago.com, we'll link you to all of my stuff. The new thing that's coming out, I've got a novel coming out in August called Just Kill Me. It's about a ghost tour guide who makes places more haunted by killing people at them.
That's a great idea.
That's so interesting.
It's going to be a really fun book. Also, what I'm working on now is two things. One, I just finished a draft of a book on unsolved mysteries in Chicago, and I'm working on revising one about H.H. Holmes, the serial killer from Devil in the White City. Nobody's ever really written a big, scholarly, and accurate book about that guy before, so I've been working on that for a couple of years now.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, we will be sure to put
your information
in the description. Thank you for talking to us about Lincoln, and thanks for joining us on the Story Time.
All right, thanks for having me.
And that was Adam Seltzer. Seltzer, Dave. Seltzer.
Seltzer. Did you like my joke,
Brian? I hated it. Why? Who are you? Who are you right now?
At least I led with it.
I can't take... You know, no, that's not the thing you lead with. You lead with your best foot forward, Dave.
I like to turn things around at the end.
Yeah, but then you also... What was the joke you made at the end?
About coming from Kentucky with a piano on his knee?
Yeah, I mean, stuff. Not much better.
But let me tell you this, Bran. I really want to get either a tattoo or a mural of Lincoln with that piano flying around with fire. That is just, like, the idea of it seems like it needs to be drawn.
I would love for you to get that tattoo. I'm fully for you doing that. Dave, it's really interesting to hearing all this. Again, I actually really enjoyed that description of a ghost, that it's a lot more perception and what you actually want to think it is and stuff like that. Like, that, I think, was a really good description of what a ghost is.
I agree.
It makes it so, you know, if for whatever reason you think you had an experience, that's okay. We're not going to discredit it, but it's also, like, if you want to perceive that it is that, but it also might not be.
I like how it just leaves up another door for some other people that don't necessarily want to go the traditional route, but it allows them to still kind of get interested in this stuff and at least take it with some kind of grain of salt that'll allow them to take it down.
It's such an interesting ghosts. I feel like are the hardest thing to talk about, because, like, you don't really know what they are, because, like, as two guys who grew up in the church, and you have to, obviously we believe in demons. Like, there's no reason why we wouldn't believe that. But then there's also ghost, and, like, why would we're excited. We're going to have Michael Heiser back on the show in a few weeks to talk about angels and demons. But from a biblical point of view, like, why would somebody come back to earth to linger for their spirit to linger unless it's a demon coming to possess? Like, so it's those type of things. Like, it doesn't make much sense to me for why something like a ghost would come and haunt. So ghosts are always one of those things that are just interesting to talk about and to think, like, what's going on there, to think critically about what's going on there, but also, you know, all that good stuff.
I agree.
Dave, we are we're going to be back tomorrow for more Starry Time news, and we will be back on Friday for Starry Time news. And next week we're going to be talking aliens on the Starry Time podcast.
I'm ready for that, Brian. I'm ready to talk to you, and I hope you sleep well tonight.
Thanks. Well, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
Or today, tonight, later tonight.
Right, absolutely. Hey, Dave, have a great day. Thankful for you, too. And thanks so much for hanging out with me.
Thanks, man. See you later.
From Greenville.
From Brooklyn.
This is the Starry Time Podcast with Brian.
And Dave. Later.